Amen. Well, I will try to preach fast if you promise to listen fast. No, not really. I was discerning if I should go there or not, but I guess we are eating here. And so if you figure it in a normal Sunday where you'd like after church fellowship, and then by the time you get home and actually eat, you can do all that here. So we're gaining at least 10 or 15 minutes with that, I think. But nevertheless, I want to, God bless you for sharing this morning, giving honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been all week talking about our individual lives, and of course last night on our family, on family life, and this morning I would like to talk about church life and the church. You see the verse on the screen, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another, taken from the book of Romans. And you could title this message, I'll wait for that just a little bit. I'll get to that, and you'll see why. John chapter 12, go there. I want to begin with a verse or two from there. John chapter 12, and then move on into the more practical things of church life. John chapter 12 in verse 24, this is in the context of the kernel of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And this is what it says, verily, verily, Jesus' words, John 12 verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. And then he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Now, verse 26 is really where I want to make a point here. If any man serve me, these are the words of Jesus. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father do what? Honor. So the emphasis this morning, based on that verse and also on the verse on the screen, as it relates to church, as it relates to the church life. Now we could go to Revelation and look at all the different churches and how Jesus addressed the different churches. Not so much going there this morning. Somewhat of a continuation of last night. We talked about the family and honoring, speaking blessings, speaking life. That whole principle, now carrying that over into what does that look like in the life of the church on a regular basis. So that's where we want to go this morning. I also realize that we have, you know, maybe I know there's a few visitors here at least, and we have maybe different scenarios of church life and our experience. And maybe we would ask the question to start with, why am I at the church that I am? Why am I at Calvary Chapel? Why do I attend Calvary Chapel? Why do I attend wherever we attend? Why do I attend there? If we process that question, we would probably get various answers. But I want to look at this morning primarily at what does it look like in the body of Christ to operate in the spirit of honor. And the Bible talks about that. Now, to begin that, go to 1 Timothy, and now I'll give you the title. And 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, if I can find it here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, very familiar verse. or verses. I'll read in verse 17, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn. The laborer is worthy of his reward. And against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. Verse 17, where I really want to go this morning. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, not just honor, but double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Now I'll give you the title. The title is this: The Message Your Pastor Won't Preach. See, I am very neutral this morning. I'm not your pastor. I'm not the one that comes to the pulpit here. I'm usually at a pulpit on Sundays, not every Sunday, but often. And we're at the home church. I'm one of the leaders there. And so, but for you all here this morning, I am very neutral. So I have a lot more freedom to say, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. It's a lot less awkward for me to come and preach on this than it is your own pastors or your own leadership. And yet it's in the Word of God. And so the message your pastor probably won't preach, or at least not as often maybe as he should. But let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. There's something about now I've learned a lot in other countries where in third world countries in Africa, where I'm more familiar with than any other place, where there is, again, there's two extremes. There you have where the elders and the leaders are so highly elevated, like you walk in there and they, you know, I'm just like, just let me sit back here until it's my time. Oh no, you go right up front. I mean, there is such a high level of honor and respect that it almost makes me feel uncomfortable. And the reason is their culture is not taught the scripture in John 13 and in other things that Jesus taught when he said, he that is greatest among you, let him be your servant. And so that principle is foreign to them. In fact, Brother Nelson keeps telling me he's teaching leadership seminars over in Uganda. And the whole principle of leaders being servants is foreign. And so you have that extreme to it, but then you also have the other extreme where very little honor is given and respect to the elders who rule well. So Lord, help us to see what you are teaching us here this morning. So there he's saying they are worthy of double honor. Now I picture, I don't know for sure how you do it here, but I imagine it goes through a process of voting. Congregational voting and how that you select your leaders and you pray and you look at the qualifications. You may have someone come in and they may teach on qualifications and who should we look for. I was reading this morning in Acts when they were choosing deacons, when they chose Stephen. You know, they were, you know, he was the whole multitude, they agreed together that he was a man that was full of faith and with the Holy Ghost, it said. That's who they were looking for this office. And so we have these high qualifications. If we would go to Titus, just a couple pages in my Bible. Titus chapter 1, it may read like this for the qualifications of an elder. For this cause, verse 5, left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given the wine, no striker, not given the filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, lover of good men, sober, just, unholy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. So we are praying. We are praying, Lord, would you show us who would you want in leadership in our congregation? So we look at these qualifications. A man after the heart of God. A man that has one wife, has faithful children, blameless, a husband of one wife, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given the wine. I mean, high qualifications. Rightfully so. Rightfully so. So we have these high expectations of our leaders. Rightfully so. We ought to be that way. But as we pray, as we discern, so we're praying and we're saying, who in this congregation would qualify and would have the giftings in that way? So we vote and they get put it in. They get ordained. They have the laying on of hands. They are given the charge. They're given the charge. And we have these high expectations of these pastors. And may I encourage, I in this case know a little bit more about your, by the way, your pastors did not put me up to this. In case you're thinking, oh boy, he's been interacting with them and man, they just filled him in with this. That's not the case. But I do remind us, what is today? October 1st, right? October is Pastors Appreciation Month. Just in case anybody forgot. But when I look at, I know a little bit how you're structured here, more so than in some places that I get into. But I want to, in order to encourage the leadership team for just a moment, we have these high expectations of our leaders and how they live and how they are to be. And so we are to pray for them that not only do we pray or not only do we look for the qualifications when we ordain them, but pray for them that they could maintain that lifestyle. Because your leaders, I have the privilege of hearing many pastors over the years, and I've sat across the table or the desk from some of them where there are so many pastors. What motivated me to study on this is there are so many pastors who are just up to here. I mean, they're ready to throw in the towel. They can't take it anymore. Sometimes the very people that voted for them or that put them in are the very people that turn right around and turn against them years later because a spirit of honor is not in place. Many pastors, what really motivated me in this some time ago was every now and then you'd hear of a pastor that would, on Sunday morning he got up and he just read off his resignation letter. That was it. Walked away. Nobody knew anything about it. Every now and then I'd hear that. And then on two occasions where I heard this was not only just a pastor that was, maybe I heard the name or somebody out there, but somebody that I knew very well. In fact, one of them was a mentor of mine over the years. And I got word, well, yeah, he just got up on Sunday morning and he read off his resignation letter. And I'm like, I wonder, really? So I made a point to meet with both of these individuals. And I realized that in both of these scenarios, it wasn't just quite that abrupt as you hear. However, I did as I hear their heart, as I heard their heart, as I was listening to their heart. And this was something like, you know, we spend these hours and we're seeking the heart of God and we're praying. And we're studying the Word of God and we're trying to deliver a message and certain ones, you know, the Spirit just comes against them immediately. It doesn't matter what they say, it just, they're attacked and they're attacked and they're attacked and I can't take it anymore. Heard the hard cry of pastors. I'm not insinuating anything like that is happening here. I'm just encouraging us. And then in some cases I also found out where the pastors, and this is what I want to encourage us leadership team in and speak into my own heart. Nowadays, it is so easy, can I say easy for us, to print out sermons on paper, Google it, print it out, make a few highlights, fold our papers, put them in the Bible, and do whatever else. And Sunday morning rolls around and we open our Bible, we open our notes, and we simply read off the sermon. Happens way too much. In fact, in one case, I heard where the wife printed out the sermon for the husband. That's, well, I'll just leave that. Doesn't mean the wife can't help her. There's time when I go to my wife and say, honey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about this? And get counsel. But it's become so easy where you get, well, I should preach on this subject. So we Google it and we look at all kinds of stuff and we can print it out. Now, let me be quick to say this. I'm not against using it for study helps. I go on it. I do research. I find insights. I do studying online I don't believe there's anything wrong with that. However, I believe that messages should be birthed out of our intimate time with God, where the Holy Ghost will fall upon us and will say, "This is the word of the Lord for today." Yes. Where we seek the heart of God. We come before Almighty God and we pray and we seek His heart. We say, "Lord, would You put on my heart that which is needed for this hour, this day, this week?" Yes. Now, Lord, help me to put this together. Whether it's studying different translations and Strong's and meanings of words and online research to help us. Yes. But first of all, seeking the heart of God. And what happens if it's just printed out? There's not conviction, there's no passion, and people can come Sunday after Sunday and it's dry, there's no light, no change. Yeah, when it's done under the anointing, there's change, there's conviction, there's forgiveness, there's passion, there is honor in the church. Yeah, yeah. So may I encourage us leaders, including my own heart, may we seek the heart of God and not lack off. In this. Now, we have these high expectations of our leaders, rightfully so. But in the process of this study, one day I came to this realization that one thing, and when I use leadership and laity, I am not using it in the context of leadership up here and laity down here. That's not the point. It has to do with the position or the responsibility. Understand that. At the cross, we're all equal. Right? At the cross, we're all equal. One day this thought hit me. Just very clearly. We have these high expectations of our pastors and our leaders. But have we forgotten that the pastors and the leaders also have very high expectations of laity? Yeah. That's an element that we forget sometimes. We just think, well, the pastors need to live right. They need to live God. They need to be a good example. Yes, we do. We do. But the pastor, just like everybody expects the pastor to be right, to be godly, and to be holy, so does the pastor expect it from all of us. Because here's what can so easily happen. And this is why so many pastors are just want to at times throw in the towel. Because when they are connected in the Spirit, which they ought to be, and all of a sudden one of their sheep, if you will, one of the sheep, it's really not their sheep, but it's the sheep that God has put us over or made responsible for. We're all God's sheep. Just one of us, just one person starts drifting away from the things of God. That leader can sense that. They ought to. They ought to sense that. If we are in tune with the Spirit. You know, God is not mocked. You know, you can tell when there's something that is not right in somebody's life. Yeah, you ought to. Because there's walls. It's hard to have eye contact. You may think, well, they don't know what I'm involved with. They don't know my hidden sin. They may not know the specifics, but there's a wall there. And that hinders the spirit of honor. And so this pastor, this is a burden to him. And so they pray, they seek. And they're saying, "Lord, do I talk to them? Do I talk to him? Do I talk to her? And if so, when and where? Lord, give me wisdom." They lay awake at night. They can't even sleep because You're on their hearts. If we drift away, go to Colossians 1 and we'll see what the expectations, I believe, of every pastor has for the lay person. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Him, self. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. I'm in verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And here's the verse. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. This is, I believe, the expectation of every pastor that he has, that we have of our lay people. Understanding in verse 22, in the body of his flesh, talking about Jesus, through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's, I believe, the expectation that every pastor has of their lay people. And when they see and sense that one person is not in tune with God, is not lining up with it, this puts burden on us, puts burden on them. What do I do? How do I handle it? And boy, the moment the pastor maybe approaches something in a little bit of a wrong way, they just get attacked. May I remind us that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities and powers. That's who we wrestle against. So every expectation, every pastor that has an expectation, I didn't know if I was going to take time to do this or not, but let's just go through this. The Lord was giving me this morning, and I share this to say this. This is what we're facing in the church. This is what many leaders are up against in the church. We're up against, and I won't take time to go there, but 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 4 about verse 1 through 5. We read about the whole apostasy. And I want to give you a little bit of a description of apostasy. And this is what we're facing. The definition of apostasy, the abandonment of renunciation of a religious belief, abandonment of a previous loyalty, a falling away. That's what's confronting the church today. One of the greatest problems confronting Christianity today, a rapidly widening gap between the ways that Christians are now approaching the Scriptures. That's what we're facing. We don't view Scripture as a guideline, but rather see it as a primer for relationships that are often culturally defined. We understand Scripture to have been authoritative. Brother. Amen. Well, I will try to preach fast if you promise to listen fast. No, not really. I was discerning if I should go there or not, but I guess we are eating here. And so if you figure it in a normal Sunday where you, like after church fellowship, and then by the time you get home and actually eat, you can do all that here. So we're gaining at least 10 or 15 minutes with that, I think. But nevertheless, I want to, God bless you for sharing this morning, giving honor and glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been all week talking about our individual lives. And, of course, last night on our family, on family life. And this morning I would like to talk about church life and the church. You see the verse on the screen, be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another, taken from the book of Romans. And you could title this message, I'll wait for that just a little bit. I'll get to that and you'll see why. John chapter 12, go there. I want to begin with a verse or two from there. John chapter 12. And then move on into the more practical things of church life. John chapter 12 in verse 24. This is in the context of the kernel of wheat falling into the ground and dying. And this is what it says. Verily, verily, Jesus' words, John 12, verse 24,